Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He drives. He goes in the lane. A floater is good again. Trey Young's got 35, folks. And the Hawks lead 99-91.
Steve Holman on the call last night on the Hawks Radio Network, which is right here, Sports Radio 92.9. The game, Rick Campbell and John Chuckery. He's in for John Michaels, who we hope is back on Wednesday. John Chuckery will be with us tomorrow as well. So, obviously, you know how I do, John. I lock in on college football and NFL football all weekend long, and that did not change this past weekend. So, Sunday comes around. I set my alarm for 6 o'clock. Hawks at Cavs. I'm pumped for the game. However, there's all these nutty NFL games going on, Redskins, Cowboys, and all this stuff. So you know what I do? I go bloop, and I DVR the darn thing. And then watched it side by side with the NFL. I'm so glad I did. Like, what if I hadn't set the alarm? And I mean, Trey Young went for 35 and 11 last night. It was history, okay? Because it's like the first 35 and 10 since Stephen Curry did it in 2010 and all that kind of stuff. Here's why it's historic to me. That was the Trae Young, I belong in the NBA game. Okay, and if you missed it, then you missed that history. If you saw it, what you saw was a super green a talent whose body isn't ready for the rigors of 82 yet. Okay, and I love Trae Young, but the body needs a lot of work to get up to like you look at Stephen Curry right now. He's jacked. Big biceps, like big shoulders, like he's continued
he's
to like
touring into his body.
Like add a like coat of armor every year. Trae Young still hasn't done that yet. So for him to go to Cleveland and drop 35 and 11 on them in his third NBA game, to me, is spellbinding. It's unbelievable.
I love this stat. Take away Vince Carter, the average experienced player on the Hawks' average tenure is 2.63 years.
On the Hawks.
Yes.
Crazy.
And even with Vince Carter, the number's only like 3.4 years. So, I mean, Carter, who's been around for 61 years in the league, now the watch is on because Steph Curry did it twice in 2010. He had the 35 and 10. Now the watch is on. I forget what they said because they had what game Curry did it in his rookie year in 2010. But Trae Young, three games in, look, you have to be willing to ride the ebbs and flows of a guy like that. And that's where – don't worry about what Doncic does. Don't worry about it. He's going to give you those moments, and there's going to be nights when he's 3 for 17. It's okay. You know, it's okay, Rick. I mean, let him grow. Let him do his thing and appreciate and enjoy the moments. Because let me tell you, last night, there won't be a whole lot of those W's in the column this year. The over-under in Vegas was like 24.5.
23.5.
Okay, where are you at on that?
Under.
Yeah, I am too.
Not by much, but just barely under that.
Yeah, I think they could be 19-20 wins.
Look, to be honest with you, I hope you're right.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I want ping pong balls, baby.
Well, you want Dallas to be bad, too.
Look, but here's the beauty of the Hawks right now. Go ahead and cheer for wins. There aren't going to be very many, okay? So when you do go to Cleveland and house them with an epic game from your star rookie, enjoy it.
Right.
Like, because you know that I'm overall big picture, I want 20-62. But that doesn't mean that in a 20-62, you can't have some feel-good wins.
Absolutely.
And feel good about them. So it's not like, oh, darn it, we wanted Cleveland and ping pong balls. No. Don't look at it that way. Okay, when we get to April,
and then
you're in the mix with maybe like Memphis and Sacramento, okay, then we need to take the L. Yeah. But right now, revel in the win.
It's game three. I'm not worried about ping pong
balls. Not yet.
Three right now.
Not yet.
Yeah.
And by the way, I want to give a major shout-out to Kevin Huerter. Okay, I like the pick. I've always liked the pick. I wanted Dante DiVincenzo at that spot, but Milwaukee took him ahead of us, so the point is moot. But what I saw from Huerter in the preseason, I was kind of like, I don't know how much he's going to be able to help us this year. He kind of looked like a G League yo-yo guy. Send him down, bring him back up. He just kind of looked like one of those guys. But last night, John, it was court awareness. It was being in the right place at the right time. He got 10 rebounds. 10. okay, he's moving the ball, he got a steal or two, made some three-point shots, which is his forte coming into the league. But you hear from Travis Schlenk, you hear from Lloyd Pierce, oh, man, you know, Kevin Huerter can do a lot of other stuff. He's not just like, you know, the sharpshooter from three. And I finally saw that last night. I was like, oh, so that's what they're talking about, a little steal here, a rebound here, a nice setup here. I applaud the Kevin Huerter pick. I really enjoyed watching him play last night.
Well, you hope that all of these, Spellman included, out of that, get as much out of your rookie class as you can this year, because you need more than just Trae Young. You hope that you have more than just Trae Young as your building block when you've got that many picks, right? You need to find that other guy that starts to be part of the answer, right? All those teams that are good, it's not just having Steph Curry.
Right.
It's finding Klay Thompson. It's getting Draymond Green. It's finding those other pieces. That's where you hope, get that diamond in the rough. And look, because you can't draft nine guys in the first round and only one guy shakes out of all that, or your team is not going to get to where it needs to be.
So Torian Prince didn't have a great game last night, 14 points, 6 boards, 1 of 6 on threes. But you know what Coach Bud did for us? He traded Jeff Teague to Indiana and with that pick drafted
right.
Torian Prince.
Right.
So if, you know, Coach Bud, and I don't know how people perceive him anymore, but Torian Prince is ours for the next however many years. And I think he's going to be a terrific player.
Mike
Budenholzer,
one of the 5 best coaches in the league?
Oh, no, not even close. He's
top 10?
He's top half. I probably can't even go top 10.
Really?
Yeah, I'll go top half. I'll go top half.
Top half? Gee, thanks.
Hey. I'm a fan of Coach Bud. I'm not head over heels in love with him. Matter of fact, some of his X's and O's at the end of games, I thought left a lot to be desired. Like the ATO stuff, the after timeout stuff,
right.
That like Doc Rivers is great at, always gets a good look. Greg Popovich always gets a good look. It may not go in. Brad Stevens in Boston. Rick Carlisle in Dallas. You are getting a good look off an ATO with those guys. You didn't always get that with Coach Bud.
Okay. I think he's a top 10 coach in the league. I'll give you not top 5 probably, but he ain't that far outside that realm.
I tell you what, let's during the break, challenge ourselves. I'm going to challenge myself to come up with 10 coaches I perceive better than Coach Bud.
Okay.
And we can revisit that maybe some place later in the show. How about an own goal last night for Atlanta United as we go around the 404 here? Huge win for United. If you don't get that own goal, it's like 1-1, and hey, what the hell happens here against Chicago, right? And the Red Bulls handled their business over the weekend, so we maintain a 1-point lead with 1 match to go. But that own goal was huge, John Chuckery.
Even the first goal, it was a deflection off of Martinez's leg where you score on the first goal. You take him any way you can get him. Because, by the way, the Red Bulls, that was 1-0 against Philadelphia in that match yesterday. Now it sets up, have to win, final game, get the supporter shield, get that home field advantage all the way through. Just, boy, the matchup, when you look, we got Vancouver coming up. They've got – New York's got Orlando.
Do you mean Toronto?
Or Toronto, I'm sorry. What did I say, Vancouver?
Yeah.
Yeah, Toronto. Toronto FC, last year's champion. We've got Toronto. I know they're out of the playoff picture. They're still Toronto. They're playing Orlando, who's god-awful. How many coaches or managers – what do they call them, managers? How many have they had this year? Like 9?
I don't know. It's
managers?
Been a lot.
It's been a lot.
And they're a whiny bunch. Boy, they are a mentally soft bunch down there in Orlando,
and by the
too.
Way, the own goal was, what, only a few minutes after they came down and tied it up.
So correct.
You didn't have to wait very long. And you take them. Yeah, look, sometimes it's better to be a little bit lucky than good, right, Rick?
Well, we've been quite unlucky at times this year in this place. We're at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, by the way, on a Falcons Monday.
And no Almiron, no Vigalba. I mean,
yep.
You had guys that were out. That's why I'm going to be curious to see what it looks like when they finish up against Toronto, how you manage minutes and things like that. If you got to just be everybody's in, or if you start thinking about a bigger picture.
Rick Hamlin, John Chuckery here at the Benz, and we love Atlanta United. We want you to join Mike Conte and Jason Longshore for Stoppage Time at Fideau Irish Pub in Buckhead this Tuesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. The Atlanta United radio broadcast team will talk all things Atlanta soccer with special guests. Plus, there will be cool soccer prize giveaways on site. Stoppage Time will also be live streamed on the 92.9 The Game Facebook page as they count down to next weekend's match against Toronto and hopefully the supporters' shield. Now, Falcons and Giants. And, John, I challenged people on Twitter to complete this sentence. The Falcons will beat the Giants if, And many of you have come correct. Go to at 92.9 the game. Go to at Rick and John 92.9 on Twitter.
Did they take my suggestion of scoring more points than the Giants?
One of them did, yeah.
Okay.
No. This guy says first to score loses. What do you think about that?
First to score loses.
That's an interesting take right there.
I don't agree with that. But
the first to score loses. It's kind of like, you know what, we got to move on because like my brain's melting down, like to try to process this sort of irony of that hot take.
That's way deep for me. That should be like in a fortune cookie or something.
This guy says, I'm praying the Giants score first. I want the top pick in the draft. Is he saying that for the Giants or for the Falcons? I don't know. This guy says, we contain Barkley, make Eli have to use his washed-up arm. I think both you and I agree with that one.
Yeah, at this point, I mean, he's my age, I think.
Oh, here it is. 5 o'clock devil. They score more points than NY.
See?
Ah-ha,
I told you. See, people agree with me.
It's so funny.
People agree with me.
It is.
And my analysis.
It's so funny.
That's what happens when everybody's on vacation and you bring me in.
That's that's like tireder than a yo mama joke, right, by a comedian. Yo mama's so fab. Blah, blah, blah. Dude, I've heard it before. Okay.
Your mama's so ugly, Bigfoot takes pictures of her.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. That's
a pretty good one, though.
He said that's a pretty good one. John Chuckery patting himself on the back out here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It said Barkley held under 50 fantasy points. By the way, I need 50 points fantasy-wise from Saquon Barkley tonight.
Oh, no wonder you're so high on him. He's your fantasy.
No, I don't want it. I don't want the points. I want to win for our Falcons.
Okay.
Is that the right thing to say? Is that the right thing
fantasy
to say?
Okay. All right.
Couldn't we win and he has 50 fantasy points for me? Because that's like a three-touchdown, 150-yard game would be like 50
points. Together because that's like
– they could.
That means he's probably got like, again, 14 catches for 111 yards and two touchdowns, and I don't like that recipe. I don't like that.
I can't read this Twitter name right here, but it starts with Hugh, and then there's a cuss word. But we have +2 on turnovers. We're talking about the Falcons beat the Giants if.
That's a good number.
I agree. +2 in the turnovers. I think you get out of here with a win.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good number. I would agree with that.
This one says
I said 4 sacks on Eli, by the way.
Oh, Brandon and Lindale's getting involved here. Okay. He says at Big U 53 doesn't pick them to win.
A good thing.
Of our phenomenal fan base,
uh-huh.
Who gets shadier than Brandon and Lindale?
Nobody. I love Brandon. I mean, he's always coming at me, but yes, I love it.
I love him too. Hugh
picking the Giants is a good thing though, right?
Yeah, I guess like that whole reverse jinx thing, maybe.
But it doesn't really matter because they don't pick against the spread on the morning show anyway.
Tell them, preacher man. What do you think about that?
What's wrong with that?
John Amir Lapp, what's wrong with that?
Yeah.
How easy is it to pick college football games when you don't go against the spread?
Well,
you know, preacher man, I think Alabama's going to beat Tennessee this week.
Okay, hold on.
Shocking.
We do our college football picks on our unsponsored college football show that we do on Saturdays. But our rule is you got to pick the big games. Like you can't pick Alabama, Tennessee. You can't.
You guys don't go against the spread?
No, we pick straight up.
Oh, that is so soft. Is Fricky on that show?
He will be coming up soon.
I'm just wondering, is this a John Fricky thing? Does he have something against gambling? Like I don't get it.
You know who's scheduled to be on the show this Saturday?
Who?
Your guy that's normally here.
John Michaels.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
He can bring his sponsors with him,
but he believes in.
did I say that, Paul? Did I
get a good laugh out of that one?
I don't know. I didn't hear anything.
Inside jokes here on the Midday Show with Rick and John. But nah, man, look, I in terms of what the Falcons beat the Giants. If again, I've been saying this all week. It's line of scrimmage. We protect Matt, we win. We heat up Eli, we win. Now I will take just protecting Matt. Like if I could have one or the two. I would rather protect Matt than heat up Eli because I think Ryan's going to light up the scoreboard out here tonight.
Oh, I agree with you.
Big points, 34, 38, something like that.
If your defense can't feast on this Giants team, and Eli's the fourth most sacked quarterback in the league, if your pass rush can't feast tonight, I don't know when we go and get somebody. Tonight should be a night where your defensive front gets healthy, and especially if you're getting Grady back, getting a shift, you get some of those guys back. This needs to be the night where that pass rush goes off and has its will against the Giants' offensive line.
I'm with you. This is my man John Chuckery in for John Michaels. Let's do this.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
stamp. Hopefully, Tack McKinley and Vic Beasley stamp Eli Manning out here on the field of the bends.
I was going to give my stamp of approval on a win tonight.
That's good. I like that. Well played. Stamp, S-T-A-M-P, that is the word for this hour. You have until 12:59 to text stamp to 72881, 72881. Text stamp to that number right now. Message and data rates may apply. Don't text and drive. We're trying to give you a grand on the Midday Show with Rick and John. And next, it's our NFL Bounce. Kooky stuff around the league. We'll talk about Carolina's win, Tampa Bay's win, and much more as we continue on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
You know, with schemes that are somewhat similar, you have to anticipate some of the things that they had success with. So we have to make the corrections and be better than we were a couple of weeks ago in Pittsburgh and handle those type of situations better than we did.
Matt Ryan, and I believe that we will, because we will not be on the road. We will be at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, which is where me and John Chuckery are right now. John will be back on Wednesday, and boy, we have really stunk on the road. We have scored 12 points and 17 points. At home, we're in the 30s every single time, and I do not think tonight will be an exception to that trend.
No, it better not be tonight. And every week, this offense is going to have to give you in that 35 range. Fair or unfair, it's just what this team
That's
has
fair.
To do right now.
Your defense has been gutted, kind of like the movie Candyman. You look in the mirror, you say Candyman seven times fast, and Candyman appears, and he guts you. Okay, it's a horror movie.
I never saw that movie.
Really?
Good. I mean, I know what it is.
It's a good movie.
Actually, that
Wes Craven.
I really like Virginia Madsen. She's in that movie, right?
Michael's
brother.
You get a nice little get some nice little looks at Virginia Madsen, especially at the end. I believe it's a white tank top that gets a little wet, so it's not bad at all. But nevertheless, it has to happen here at home tonight for our Falcons.
Yeah, it's playoff game tonight. Playoff game all the way tonight.
It's a death game.
Well, I don't think anybody's going to die. I hope not. It's not a death
game. Yeah, it's a death game. It's an elimination game.
Pretty much.
So, Falcons, don't lose this game. I mean, what are we going to talk about the rest of the year? We're going to start looking at college football for draft picks? I mean, come on. You got to win this game tonight, Chuckery. It's a must win.
Don't tell me in the third week of October my season's over. Don't give me that. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, right.
I don't do that to me, Rick.
I'm not telling you that. It's on the guys in the locker room, man.
Rise up.
It's on our beloved Atlanta Falcons. We're the home of the Falcons. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And that was Matty Ice, of course. Matty Ice, minimum 300 yards, minimum 3 touchdowns tonight.
Just be Matt Ryan.
And I'm not saying he needs to do that. I'm saying he will do that.
No, just be Matt Ryan. Be what Matt Ryan has been this year. It's been tremendous this year, no question about it. Just be Matt Ryan. That's all that you need. You're going to get your weapons back. It won't be Russell Gage and Marvin Hall split out wide for you. Just be Matt Ryan.
And to John's point, Mohamed Sanu and Calvin Ridley were removed from the injury report over the weekend, which was huge news. Now, let's get to some of these NFL games, man. And, Emo, let's start with our division and then look around the NFL. So let's go to cut number 3 here. The Panthers with an amazing comeback to beat the Eagles up there in raucous Philadelphia.
Fourth down and 2. Wentz has the snap. A low snap, but Wentz is looking. And Wentz cocks his arm. Balls out of there. Still loose on the field. Picked up by Peter. Now he loses it. And it's recovered. And the Panthers are going to win the game.
Say it again, Vic. The Carolina Panthers are going to win this game.
All right, that was Panthers radio, obviously. But I thought that game was dead and buried.
Yeah.
And Cam Newton was... Has he played better in the NFL than the fourth quarter of that football game? I know he won an MVP award. I know he went to a Super Bowl. But think about it. In the playoff run, they get the huge lead over Seattle. Seattle comes roaring back, and you hang on to win. You totally truck Arizona at home in that Carson Palmer meltdown game, and then you lose the Super Bowl to Denver. I think this is the clutchest Cam Newton has ever been, because that clutchness was not totally required in those two playoff games before they went to the Super Bowl.
Well, Philadelphia is a mess right now. They're fading very
quickly.
3-4,
yeah, by the way.
Fading. By the way, you know that's the only team below 500 that the Falcons have played. Everybody else on the Falcons schedule thus far has been 500 or above. Even the Buccaneers are 3-3, so everybody's 500 above. Philly, believe it or not, Philly. See, this is what – that's why that game to start the year bothers me still, and I keep talking about it. You should have found a way to win up in Philadelphia to start the year. Should have found a way with their backup quarterback and suspensions and injuries. That's one of those games that you should have had. Should have had that game.
Well, you think about that game. The penalties, the drop passes, the this, the
offense,
the that.
Couldn't be nothing. 1-for-9 in the match, 1-for-9 in the red zone. I mean, just – but those are the kinds of things when you look back over your schedule and you say, man, that game here, that game there, that was – because think about right now at 3-3 for the Falcons instead of 2-4. Picture's totally different right now. If Philadelphia's 2-5, they're basically out of the playoff picture at that point. They'd be dead and buried at this point. Now you're fighting for your life. And in a game here and a game there, that's what that first game is so frustrating still, Rick.
No, it does. It burns me as well. And if we win tonight, or when our Falcons win tonight, we will be 3-4 just like those Eagles. So amazing win for Cam Newton in Carolina, which obviously stinks here in Atlanta with our Falcons as we look up from the bottom of the division at them. We also look up from the bottom of the division at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This was the fourth overtime game of the year for the Cleveland Browns. They have been in four overtime games already, and unfortunately, it went the way of the Bucs.
Buccaneers will attempt again a 59-yard field goal to try to win with a minute 55 to go and two timeouts left for the Browns. Here's the spot, the kick. Airborne, Chandler, Catanzaro. Is it? It's good! The Buccaneers win in overtime. 59-yard field goal, Chandler Catanzaro.
Bucks radio right there.
That's and Gene Decker-Hoff. The
awesome
Buck
call.
Yeah.
Florida great. State, too,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Legendary voice. Yeah. Catanzaro, a lot of games, a lot of parties. If memory serves, missed a kick and a PAT in this football game. I'm pretty sure he missed a point after touchdown at the beginning of the game. To come back in at a 59-yarder, huh? You remember Graham Gano. What did he beat New York on, a 63-yarder?
Yeah, something like that, yeah, 63.
Give me a freaking break here. I mean, Carter is lining up Catanzaro for this kick yesterday. I'm like, Carter, what are you doing? This guy not making a 15, poof. He just made a 59-yarder. All right, Dirk, my bad. You got it.
So far you've given me two teams in our division that won. So certainly,
I'm just saying.
Certainly the other team in the division lost, right?
That's it? You don't have a take on Cleveland? Are you kind of a Browns fan?
They're going to fire Hugh Jackson probably in the next week or two, which is good. They should have done it to start the year, but that's all right. The Browns are what they are. Look, they win six games this year. That's a good year. They go 6-10, considering you were 0-49, you know, the last 2 years, whatever. I mean, that's fine. They are what they are. They don't have a very good head coach. I don't care what anybody tells you. Todd Haley will be the head coach in a few weeks. Roll right along. Just keep building. Now, their defense has been, Denzel Ward's been terrific. You talk about defensive rookies.
Oh, yeah.
Denzel Ward's been tremendous this year.
Totally validated the fourth overall pick that I thought was a little bit too high. In that game, Nick Chubb got his first NFL start, of course, following the trade of Carlos Hyde. Approached 100 yards, had one touchdown, played well. And Baker Mayfield had a key fumble in the red zone early in the game. Got stopped on fourth and goal at the goal line. The little over-the-top Drew Brees play. Couldn't get over the top. So Cleveland left a lot of money on the table and should have won that game. But they didn't. And the New Orleans Saints. Drew Brees gets his 500th touchdown pass. Yeah. They're down 10 in the second half. They storm back. Take the lead on Baltimore. Baltimore gets in position. And they actually tie the game on a touchdown to John Brown late. Well, pardon me. They didn't tie the game. They came within one point.
That's extra point. It's
on,
good, right?
on a touchdown to John Brown. But things got a little haywire for Justin Tucker and the Ravens after that.
Snap is down and the kick is up. And it is no good.
He missed it.
The kick is no good. Justin Tucker misses the extra point. 24 seconds left and the Saints up 24-23.
Missed it.
Unbelievable.
You know, Rick, when you talk about during the course of the year and teams, that find a way to get in the playoffs, get the Super Bowl, all those kinds of things. Those are the kind of games that over the course of the year that you look back and you say, oh, you know, we got – as much as you get frustrated by – you know, as I get frustrated by the Philadelphia loss, that win yesterday, that's one of those ones that you're going to look back on and say, not only dodged a bullet, but, you know, that might be like a division-clinching win.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that might be a win that you look back and say, well, hell, they got that one, and that's the difference between them winning the division and being a wild card, whatever like that.
No question. It was insane because Justin Tucker – had never missed an extra point in his career.
Right.
Okay, so that was the call on Westwood One. The call on Fox by my guy Chris Myers was, okay, literally, guys and girls, Baltimore scores the touchdown. We are going to overtime. Okay, Justin Tucker, Mr. Automatic, and Chris Myers, Justin Tucker has in his career never missed a PA. He just missed it. It was the all-time broadcaster jinx.
Chris Myers, by
it was
way, too.
The all-time broadcaster jinx. And
I'm not going to sleep on your Chris Myers impression. That wasn't
too
bad.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. But literally, he overkicked it. It's like a golf swing. You know when you said, I'm really going to kill this ball this time. Mm-hmm. The thing is just sliced right into the woods. And when you swing just nice and easy, and as they say, let the club do the work and all that, bam, right down the middle, you're in business. Tucker overkicked the PAT. He really did. He crushed it, and it just went, dude, off the foot. It was right between the uprights, perfect, and it just went. It was like a slice at the driving range. It was insane. Did you see how big his eyes were after missing that kick?
Yeah.
He was like, Jason Voorhees, like he saw the boogeyman. He could not believe he missed that kick.
Think about that. That's the moment where you miss your first ever extra point in that moment.
Right, not in the first quarter when it's 7-3.
Yeah, right.
To force overtime, he misses the PAT.
Yep.
Insane. But to John's point, Saints win, Bucks win, Panthers win. Bad news for our Falcons. But Falcons fans, if you can't make it to the game tonight, go to the official Atlanta Falcons versus New York game day party starting at 7:15 at Hometown Grill of Hog Mountain Road in Flowery Branch. Tons of Falcons prize giveaways given out during the game. Freddie the Falcon, Falcons cheerleaders, and Falcons alumni Josh Vaughn will be on site. But next, we talk to the preacher man. Who's got stories for us in From the Bible?
All right, coming up from the Bible, one Lakers superfan had to be restrained on the sidelines during the chaos.
When they were fighting?
Yes, sir.
When they were actually landing
when
punches?
When they were actually landing punches, and we'll talk about that coming up next from the Bible.
Oh, it's a great day to be alive, man. We're at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and we're counting down to Monday Night Football. That's right. It's right here in Atlanta. It'll be Falcons and Giants right here at the Benz. Kickoff at 8:15. You can watch it on ESPN. We encourage you to listen to it right here with Wes Durham and Dave Archer on Sports Radio 92.9. The game, the preacher man, has some stories for us and from the Bible. What you got? You got some spicy stuff from over the weekend?
I don't know about spicy. We've got a few things. We'll get to that story I teased earlier about the NBA superfan going at it on the sidelines. But first, let's keep up with our Le'Veon Bell situation.
Did he report?
He did not.
What?
He did not. The Steelers bye week is over. Le'Veon Bell is still absent from the team.
Is he going to sit out the whole year and not collect
He has
any
to be
money?
Back by week 10 if he wants to get paid.
Yeah, I know. It's got to be like with six games left or something.
Yeah, week 10
right?
is like the cutoff point.
Is he going to, you think he's going to come back?
A 50-50 at this point.
I think
because he already, he's passing up $850,000 per game check lost. So we already know he's nuts. All right, we already know he's not dealing with a full deck here. If he were a rational, reasonable human being, he'd be playing football right now and making really good money doing it. You will not win a stare down with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
No.
You will not. That's an L.
Right.
That is an L. It'd be like the Golden Gophers try against Alabama. Okay, I don't care if it's Minnesota, Alabama, or Mars. You're taking an L.
No,
so you need to know that.
There are very few organizations that are bigger than you as a player.
Yep.
Pittsburgh's one of them.
They're one of them.
All right, so the past week hasn't been ideal for one LeVar Ball's JBA league. With the G League announcement of its professional path, it put the JBA's viability at risk just days after an episode of Ball and the Family, which you can find on Facebook. Sunday's episode offered more details into the league's payment struggles after JBA exec and Big Baller brand manager Alan Foster asked players individually when they last received paychecks. He came to the conclusion that players hadn't been paid since July 10th. So it was about a month late. Now, Foster was tasked with telling LeVar that his own professional league wasn't paying players. LeVar was surprised, to say the least. His response was, oh, snap.
So, aren't there still people waiting on the ZO2s?
Probably.
The $500, the $495. Aren't there people still waiting on their order? I mean, LeVar Ball.
How's this brand working out? How's that working out?
Did anybody think that this JBA thing was going to work? Raise your hand if you thought this was going to work.
If you decided to go play in the JBA, don't you get what you deserve at that point?
Well, I literally, the main thing that LeVar Ball has done in it, that like pulling your kid out of UCLA and pulling your child out of high school basketball, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? And I don't know, maybe the name that he's created, the brand he's created, is going to be strong enough to proliferate and keep all of them paid. I don't know. Maybe that's the case. Maybe there's
sort of
this.
You putting your faith and stock in that, Rick?
I'm not. But I'm just saying, stranger things have happened. Some dude invented the straw 30 years ago, and he's on a yacht or, you know, on a beach somewhere owning an island. Stranger things have happened. But
the pet rock.
I feel bad for LiAngelo and for LaMelo Ball. That their dad pulled them out of school, took them off of, like, the normal trajectory to making the NBA. How are you going to make the NBA from the JBA? You're not.
No.
And those kids might not have been NBA guys to begin with, but they didn't even get a chance.
Lithuania is a better option.
By the way, didn't we hear that Lithuania didn't even pay those guys?
I don't know. Is that what happened?
I think I did get some intel that Lithuania used them and
spit
them out.
Your Lithuania sources gave you that?
Well, I've got NBA sources that go all the way to Lithuania.
Okay.
Something like that, Preacher Man.
They're the only one that wants to go there.
Rick is big in Thailand. Don't let it. Don't be tripping.
I understand. Bangladesh Rick.
All right, we're banging something here at the Benz.
Over the weekend,
that's
you saw
later tonight in your radio show.
Wow. Over the weekend, you saw the brawl between the Lakers and the Rockets. Well, apparently, Red Hot Chili Peppers frontman Anthony Kiedis was in the house, and he lost his blanket mind. He was cussing out Rockets staffers following the brawl on the court. Apparently, as Chris Paul was being escorted off the court, Kiedis was screaming at him from his courtside seats. A Rockets staffer came over to verbally check Kiedis, but Anthony was having none of it and lashed back. Witness say Kiedis flipped off the guy and shouted, "Blank you." You want to see the video, go check it out at TMZ.
Okay. First of all, isn't it nice for Laker fans to actually have something to get foamy at the mouth about? Like, they've missed the playoffs, what, 5 straight years now? And they'll be back.
I was thinking that that's the most pub Anthony Kiedis has had in about 15
years.
Wow,
that was a nice shot. But all he has to do is say bank account or scoreboard
of course.
Of course. And it's like, all right, yeah, we defer.
Look, he wasn't Point Break, for God's sake.
Was he really? Yeah. Oh yeah, he was. He was. Yeah. That's such a dope movie, by the way.
Oh, it's great.
Not
the remake.
So
the real Point Break.
I think it's a little bit ironic that, you know, you get, you know, big men going at it. Remember last year, Serge Ibaka and James Johnson squared off, and back in the day, it was Alonzo Mourning and. Who was he bad when Van Gundy went around the leg? Oh, it was Larry Johnson and Alonzo Mourning, a couple of big men. That finally, we get punches landed in an NBA fight by point guards. Isn't that ironic? Not 6'8", 250 or 7'3", guys that are 6', 200 pounds.
Yeah, because Ingram,
Chris Paul and Rajon
Ingram is
Rondo.
Who got it all started, right? Ingram kind of got it all started, and then he just kind of walked away, and then that's when Rondo and Paul went at it.
Well, you know that Rajon Rondo was the number one point guard irritant in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Talking nonstop. He's always got a monster chip on his shoulder. Always feeling, maybe not feeling inferior, but understanding the perception of others that Chris Paul's going to get all the shine and I'm going to get none.
Right.
And to a guy like that, that matters, and it gasses him up. So then he gets in a matchup against Paul, and they start throwing punches at each other. I mean, like, you know, the NBA, they want it to be safe, and they don't want fights because it's a bad look, and it's ugly for the game and all that kind of stuff. But
the fight was better than the game.
I don't know. Nothing did. Some suspensions happened. Nobody really got hurt. Like, I don't know. It was entertaining for me on Saturday night. Well, I'll put it that way. I was entertained on Saturday night.
With all due respect, it's game 3, 4, whatever, the NBA. You need some things outside of just it was LeBron's home debut. Did you know it was LeBron's home debut because they didn't pimp it up?
Yeah, Saturday night.
Oh. Because, like, they were breaking it down on EPL games and stuff. I mean, for God's sakes.
Yeah, college football all day, Preacher Man. They weren't, like, sending you to, like, the showdown Purdue and Ohio State. It was, And don't forget, 10:30 tonight, yeah. LeBron's home debut during as the Lakers host the Rockets.
During their broadcast, guys were like breaking down Lakers. I'm like, okay, isn't this Clemson NC State, Todd? I mean, you know, and
okay, whatever. By the way, the Sean McDonough, Todd Blackledge broadcast team, it is a cure for insomnia.
Easy. That's my guy, Todd Blackledge, from my hometown. Well, went to my rival high school.
Let's put it this way.
Chachi.
Let's put it this way.
That's
not
guy,
a lot
Todd.
Of not a lot of energy and zip
now,
on
if you
that broadcast.
Take your shot, if you want to take your shots at Blonde Boy at night, then go for it, man. That's Randy Mack's guy.
Who's Blonde Boy?
The other Ohio former.
Oh, Kirk Herbstreit.
Yeah, you can have
one
him.
Of the all-time homers.
Yeah, and he's also jumped the shark. I mean, we could spend the next hour. Sorry, Mister from the Bible.
No, this is the whole point of this segment. Yeah. To get you off on tangent.
Jumped the shark.
Oh, he's jumped the shark completely with his nonsense.
So is Ohio State, by the way. Nice defense. What, they gave up 50 to Iowa last year, right? Mm-hmm. And they just give up 49 to Purdue? That's fraudulent, man.
That's why they're not getting the playoff.
Fraudulent. Preacher Man, what else you got?
All right, not sure if you know this, but the NFL has a blackout list for certain names that aren't allowed on the back of, you know, make your own jerseys in the NFL.
Yes.
One is,
remember, they shut down the Ron Mexico jersey when that
also no Aaron Hernandez, no OJ Simpson. Now they've added another name to the list, Ray Carruth.
Yeah, who got let out?
Who
of
just
prison.
Got let out of jail? Yeah. People are now trying to get Ray Carruth jerseys to go as a Halloween.
If you remember here in Atlanta when the story came out about Mike Vick having maybe some STD issues and stuff, and he used the name Ron Mexico, and then people started going on NFL.com and putting together Ron Mexico jerseys. Yeah, that got kind of shut down fairly quickly.
Yeah, I don't. That's a little strange right there. That's a little strange.
All right, before you hit that read, Ricky, research material today, very simple, only for you, Ricky. Busty girls near you.
Busty girls near you.
Where?
Do you like him top heavy like me?
Yeah, my guy.
Yeah. Chuckery and I have been I've been agreeing way too much today, but I'm happy that we agree.
We still got tomorrow,
that.
Rick.
Curvy girls, we love you out there, man. Hey, we want to give away a pair of lower level tickets to WWE SmackDown Live at State Farm Arena on Tuesday, October 30th. Mark Owens back in our Kia Studios. Hit it.
This is just for Chuckery. He'll know who this is. Tell me whose entrance music this belongs to. That's it.
You got it?
Chuck Rodino?
Don't say it because we got a giveaway and stuff. Call 404-741-0929. 404-741-0929. Talk to Marco and say hi. Give him a big electronic hug. And you may be going to WWE SmackDown Live at State Farm Arena Tuesday, October 30th. Coming up next, Morgan Parker, VP of the AMB Group. She joins Rick and John live from the Benz. Well, hopefully Eli Manning is thunderstruck tonight. Rick Hamlet, John Chuckery, getting fired up, getting feisty. It's 1 o'clock, 7 hours and 15 minutes from the kickoff here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and that is where we're at right now in a Falcons Monday, powered by Xfinity. Xfinity X1 will change the way you experience TV. John Michaels is off till Wednesday. In the meantime, Rick Hamlet and John Chuckery at your service, and we're going to get back into the Falcons breakdown. We are anticipating a guest, Morgan Parker of the AMB Group, coming here shortly. But, John, let's revisit my personal Twitter account. Go to @929TheGame and @RickandJohn929 on Twitter. Then hit me up. I'm asking you a question. It's very simple. Complete the sentence. The Falcons beat the Giants if. John and I have been taking swings on this, and we want you to do it as well. Right here it says get Eli to give the ball away twice and hold Barkley to under 80 total. I like that. That math works for us. That math gets us a big victory. And by the way, shout out to our bosses at 92.9 The Game for hooking us up with some jerseys here. Jerseys that you can now see on Twitter.
Did they hook us up or did the Falcons hook us up?
I'm not sure. Let's say the Falcons and our bosses at 92.9 The Game. And like, it's a big old net.
Because usually they hook me up with, like, a broom or a mop. So.
Is that really a hookup?
for our bosses?
So on the back of the jerseys that were given to us, it says Ryan. Should we take the Ryan off and put janitor for yours?
Yes. Yes. I'm usually more when they give me something, like I said, it's got Cintas as the label. So.
The always sardonic John Chuckery out here, man, and some of the other.
I do not eat sardines, by the way. Oh,
Oh, by the way, it says Davis Webb plays for the Jets. Kyle LaLetta from Richmond is his backup.
He's the rookie that they drafted out of Richmond. The Richmond Spiders.
Yes. Nerman Selimovic on Twitter sent us that. Thank you.
That was Gesundheit.
I did. Boy, that felt good. And bless you, right?
Same thing.
It's the same thing. I had to think about that for a minute. Wait a minute. Gesundheit is German for bless you.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Oh, sometimes I need a frying pan upside the head. Sometimes.
Not all your
good. I do.
It's all about timing, Rick.
But, so Kyle LaLetta, fourth round pick out of Richmond. I know nothing about the guy, okay? I don't remember Mike Mayock.
He's breaking him down on day three of the draft. He actually, I will tell you, he could huck it around at Richmond. Yeah, huck it around. That's what we use.
Oh,
he
at Richmond. Huck it around. Yeah, so Richmond, what were they playing, Spiders. Glorified high school teams at Richmond?
No, they would play like, you know, probably some FCS competition.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe like a big bout with Georgia Southern or something like that?
No. How dare you? Georgia Southern is a Sun Belt FBS team. How dare you? How dare you?
I take it back, okay?
Wow.
I apologize. Boy. I take it back. I know I just rankled like
several
people out there who are I'm sorry.
More
okay?
of like your Bethune-Cookman level and stuff
thank
like
you.
That.
Thank you. Bethune-Cookman.
Yeah. Yes.
That's
yes.
A much better suggestion.
Yes.
Or William and Mary.
Yes, yes.
William, Holy Cross, does that work?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or like, what is it? Where did that league go?
So I'm sorry. All the Georgia Southern fans out there, I take it back. Like, if you take it back, am I good? Or now that I put it out there, am I screwed?
Don't you know we are the Sun Belt? We go around the Sun Belt. We got State. We got Southern.
I am so impressed.
Mm-hmm.
I am so impressed. But we're breaking down Falcons and Giants here, baby. I mean, dude, we're the center of the universe right now in sports.
Yeah.
Monday Night Football in Atlanta, and we are stoked.
ESPN already probably doing live hits and everything.
They're testing out the lighting right now for their 17.5-hour pregame show on what is it, Countdown?
So they've been having Monday Night Countdown on the Halo board and everything. So, yeah.
That's
I guarantee
it,
you, a lot of good shots. A lot of good. What's going to be cool tonight, roof open, night game on Monday night, the whole setting and everything like that. And what, you know, we talked about in the college football segment, Rick, you get the shots of downtown Atlanta at night. That's what that scene at North Avenue when Tech's playing on a Thursday night and you got Bobby Dodd and you get the backdrop of Atlanta. It looks so good on TV.
It does.
So we make such a good presentation with it.
No question about it. I do want to talk to you about a couple of things. First, the stadium. You open it up, you bring it. Look, it's not going to be a warm night in Atlanta.
Right.
It's going to be 50, 52. I don't know. I haven't looked at the forecast, but I know that in the mornings now it's getting chilly, and as you get into the nighttime, it gets a little chilly. So I don't know how much of that chilly nighttime air in Atlanta is going to make it down through the hole into Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Are they going to turn on heat to sort of offset the cold outside? That's I don't know. But, like, this is like a death game. Like, you have to win this game. Like, shouldn't we close the roof and make
it's
the
Monday
condition?
Night football. That they want the presentation of it.
I'm more worried about winning a football game,
well, I
John Chuckery.
Listen, I'm all about where it says 20, 30, 40, 50. You know, I'm more worried about all of that. But at the same time, they want a big presentation for that. This is the home of the Super Bowl, obviously, coming up. Big chance. We haven't I was trying to think of how many primetime games. We had the NBC Saturday night game, or Sunday night game, I mean, last year against the Packers.
Yep.
I'm trying to think of how many big primetime games we've had in Mercedes-Benz thus far.
Was there another one after that?
Well, I don't think there was.
Did
we play Monday night in New Orleans? Was our Monday night game last year in New Orleans?
I think it was at New Orleans.
Our Thursday night game was in Tampa Bay last year, so we didn't play here for that Thursday night game, but you want to make a big scene.
So, and I get that thinking. I definitely do. The weather, by the way, tonight, 57 degrees at kickoff. 9 o'clock hour, it'll be 55, then 54, then 53. It is going to be chilly, I think. I don't know. I haven't been here at the Benz on a 50-something degree night with the roof open.
You know how you're warming up?
Touchdowns.
80,000 people all together and get it all together and get here early and get your seat early.
So, a couple of things. You got to bring a clear bag. Otherwise, you know, you're going to have to, like, throw your wife's purse away. Okay, so, and you don't want to do that. Bring a clear bag, just because everybody forgets that.
Right,
well, not everybody.
So don't bring my purse.
Okay, clear bag, okay? And a jacket. Bring a jacket or a coat tonight.
Well, especially if they're going to be out tailgating. So, yeah, you're going to need one for out tailgating, which is good.
No doubt. And after the game, walking back to your car, it's going to be a little chilly. But I don't want – and it, for the dudes, you're going to be fine. Like the – did you watch the Florida-Vanderbilt game 2 weekends ago?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
So they had a cutaway to a Florida fan and his girlfriend or whoever. And it looked like about a 50-degree day, okay? It was overcast. This poor girl was shivering. She had, like, a Gators T-shirt on, and her dude had, like, a polo shirt on. I'm like, put a freaking jacket on. My God, you're from Florida. What are you doing here?
And the dude didn't warm her up?
He did not warm her up. Oh, wow. He did not. Bo Morgan is saying, no, Thursday was in Atlanta against the Saints. Monday was in Tampa last year. So that game against New Orleans was a big-time primetime affair.
Well,
here
we're going to play
at the Benz.
We're playing Thanksgiving night in New Orleans this year as well.
Interesting. I hope it matters, John.
Yeah, let's just,
I mean, it always matters for the rivalry, right, but I hope it matters in terms of us, like, making up ground
we'll start with playoffs
and all that.
We'll start with it tonight. So I'm
curious about the temperature in here with the roof open, and unfortunately, something's popped up. I will not be able to be here tonight, so I'm looking forward to that report. The other thing is, and you mentioned it off the air, and I've been meaning to get to this. So in fantasy football, we have all these decisions, right? Bye weeks. By the way, I've lost Matt Bryant on like half of my teams. I have 7 NFL fantasy teams.
I'm surprised. I was going to say.
Insert chuckery shot here.
Right.
But Giorgio Tavecchio, I don't trust that dude. And here's the thing. I might.
I think seven, like if he goes, seven, that's the number of ex-wives we all have here, right?
No, I just have one previous regime. Just one. Just one, and we're capping it at that number. Okay, right. There's no over on that one.
I call it my starter wife. But
I like that, but I don't want Giorgio Tavecchio
in a gun to
the temple, make the kick or everything sucks scenario tonight. I just don't want it. He might make that kick, and we can have a different conversation tomorrow. And he can be a big hero and all that kind of stuff. What I want from Giorgio Tavecchio tonight is a couple of short field goals and like 4 or 5 PATs. Like low leverage stuff. Let's get him in here, you know. But like I said, like the shotgun barrel on the tongue kick deep into the fourth quarter for a guy, I don't want to go that way.
Not that he doesn't already, but I guarantee you Dan will be intently watching what his range is on this field in here tonight. So you get into pregame warm-ups. I'll bet you they try to stretch him pretty good and just out of curiosity see what he can give you. But I agree with you. Look, get out far enough ahead to where all I need out of him tonight is go kick extra points. Just go kick some extra points tonight and be done. Don't let this game come down to I got to make a decision on 4th and 1.5. Do I go for it or do I kick a 49-yard field goal for it? I don't want those kinds of decisions tonight.
I'm glad you brought that up because I think Dan Quinn's going to go for it in that scenario.
Probably.
I really do.
Probably.
He tends to be all gas, no brakes.
Exactly.
He tends to be a go-for-it guy anyway.
Yes.
And obviously last
Even
week.
Even when he shouldn't go for it.
Yeah. You're right. But, you know, last week you basically set up that 3rd and 2 play knowing you were going to get stuffed, knowing that you got Matt Bryan who never misses. You had that that safety net there. Look, again, Tavecchio may kick butt tonight, and I hope he does. But he might not. Like, he kicked for Oakland last year, okay? And he was okay. He wasn't bad. He wasn't good. He was right down the middle. But Oakland sucked. There were no high-leverage kicks. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I mean, there probably were, like, a kick late in the game. I can't remember. But I'm just saying, this is a death game, man. This is a regular season playoff game. We got a brand-new fresh kicker. I don't want the game being decided on his leg.
No,
I want the
you.
Game being decided be, with number two.
Be far enough out ahead. Just kick extra points tonight. My guess would be... Chip shot's one thing, but my guess is you be a little bit more aggressive and don't set yourself up to where you're so used to having that safety blanket of Matt Bryant that no matter what happens with the offense, he can bail you out of situations. Can't be that way tonight. You have to be full throttle with it tonight. And I don't want John Travolta having to come out here and make kicks or whatever his name is.
John Travolta. What are you talking about? Oh, Giorgio Tavecchio.
That's what I said, John Travolta.
Okay.
Giorgio Moroder, whatever his name is.
So I want to talk about a couple of receivers for us. Austin Hooper the last 2 weeks has been sensational.
Right.
Last week, it was totally required with Sanu and Ridley being banged up. What do we get from Austin Hooper here tonight?
Well, here's where guys like Austin Hooper thrive. Defenses don't have enough guys, and I keep saying this, no defense in the league has enough guys to match up with all of the players. It's why, and I think you're going to see different guys all through the year. It's why Ridley's going to get off early. It's why Hooper gets it. Because you can't cover everybody. You don't have enough guys to cover Sanu, Julio, Ridley, Coleman coming out of the backfield, Austin Hooper. Somebody has to be open. Where two is so good is find that matchup, expose that matchup. Hence, you get 17, 18 catches out of Austin Hooper the last 2 weeks. Hence, you get a bunch of one-on-ones with Calvin Ridley with guys who don't match up against him. Or you get Tevin Coleman out, and all of a sudden a linebacker got stuck trying to come over, and he's got no shot with it. That's a personnel thing. That's a thing where your personnel exceeds the defense, that they don't have enough guys, Rick, to be able to cover everybody you can put on the field.
No doubt about it, man. And Hooper's been feasting on that. And I looked at Hooper as sort of a game-in and game-out guy coming into the year, like a lot of tight ends are. I mean, it's just game flow and, you know, do you need to block and chip at the line or can you just go out in patterns? But he's been way more consistent this year than I thought he would be, and I give him credit for that. Is Julio Jones finally going to catch his first touchdown of 2018?
Amazing to think that him and Odell only have one touchdown combined on the season of this year, and especially when you figure how many touchdowns Matt has thrown for the year. I don't get hung up on that stat. I could care less. As long as we're winning, if I'm 16-0 and Julio has zero touchdowns, who cares? I don't. I mean, you fantasy guys can get mad and frustrated and all that kind of stuff. I don't care.
So you say us fantasy guys. You don't play fantasy?
Football?
Yeah.
No.
You don't play? Well, I you know what? Rick, don't ask him what fantasy he does play. Rick, don't ask him that. Okay, just see, I had to remind myself
role
twice.
Playing. I don't role play.
You are some kind of nut.
Let me tell you, I waited the 1 o'clock hour to really get us off the rails.
Not role playing.
I made sure I waited.
I think all of our minds drift off into some little version of that. But it is the midday show with Rick and John. John Michaels is off till Wednesday. We got John Chuckery in here. All right, let's firm it up. Let's clean it up. Let's give away a grand.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Well, some of that role-playing may involve some candy. Candy is the code word for this hour, C-A-N-D-Y.
We talked about Candyman, the movie.
We did.
A little bit earlier. So, yeah, our offense is like stealing candy from the store.
It's
good.
I like it. And hopefully we do that tonight against the Gents. Candy is the code word for this hour as we try to give you $1,000, C-A-N-D-Y. Text it now to 72881. That's 72881. Candy. Text it to 72881. Message and data rates may apply. Don't text and drive. So it is huge that Ridley and Sanu over the weekend were removed completely from the injury report. They will go tonight. Probably John won't be at max potential in terms of 100%, but with the bye week coming up, with the importance of this football game, let's get a helmet on them and let's see what they can do. And, like, if Ridley only makes it to the second quarter, well, then he gave you a quarter and a half. So we just got to get what we can get out of these guys.
Look, 5-1 going into a bye week is a lot different, you know, that you might rest some of these guys. Tonight it's all hands on deck. Again, this is playoff game number two. You have to have everybody in. And, look, Ridley on one catch can make the difference in a game like this tonight.
No doubt.
He gets behind one guy on a one-on-one matchup. He can make the difference with just one catch. I don't need 15 out of him.
It's going to be really exciting, ladies and gentlemen, to be here at the Benz tonight. Hopefully you're coming down. You're going to hear it on Sports Radio 92.9, the game. And coming up next, we get to know our enemy, Anita Marks from ESPN New York 98.7, previewing the Giants and Falcons. She's our buddy, and she's next on Sports Radio 92.9, the game, and 92.9thegame.com.
Radio 92.9 The Game.
Rick Campbell, John Chuckery. He's in for John Michaels. We're at the Benz on a Falcons Monday, powered by Xfinity. Xfinity X1 will change the way you experience TV. Hopefully our Falcons change the way Eli Manning experiences football tonight. But first, John German is a big winner. He has claimed a pair of lower-level tickets to WWE SmackDown Live at State Farm Arena on Tuesday, October 30th. John German, big winner, and that's very cool for him. WWE stars will be there, and a good time will be had. I'm still waiting for Chuckery and Michaels and all these wrestling heads to bring me in. I may or may not go. I'm playing it by ear. But right now, on the WaitForIt.com hotline, we've got our good friend from New York, Anita Marks from ESPN New York 98.7, to preview Giants and Falcons. Anita, good afternoon. How you living?
It's cold here. it's about that time. Temperatures are changing, but other than that, it's hard. It's hard for this Miami girl living here in New York City. But other than that, everything's great.
No doubt. And I noticed the weather starting to impact football over the weekend in terms of, like, easy routine throws the QBs usually make when it's 80 and 90. A little bit tougher when the weather gets down to 35, 39, 41, that kind of thing. But, Anita, let's focus on tonight's game here in the Benz. And John and I have been talking, Rick Hamlin, John Chuckery, Anita, and we've been talking about Eli. And I'm a big Eli sort of apologist or supporter, respecter, whatever you want to say. Last week's game was brutal. I was like, Eli Manning, my God. It was check down city, couldn't get the ball downfield. And Anita, I understand the offensive line struggles. I just want to know, because you're up there, you're in it. If Eli Manning, you know, has a terrible start tonight and the Giants lose, I mean, are Giants fans literally going to dig a 6-foot hole and try to throw Eli in that hole?
They already have. there's no about to or will begin to. They already have. I'd say, as you guys know, I host Sports Talk Radio here in New York, and I'd say 80% of my listeners and Giants fans have already written off Eli, which to me is sad because I'm on the same side of the coin as you are. I think there is so much that has gone wrong with this organization, and not just this year, but for the past 3 years, the offensive line being one of them. Listen, we can't sit here and pretend that Eli Manning is as athletic as Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson. He's not. You know what you get in Eli Manning. You know the skill set that you get with this type of quarterback. And because of that, you need to focus and make sure that he has an above-average, superior offensive line around him that's going to allow him to accentuate his talents and his ability to be able to do what he can do. And it's not just this year. The Giants and the Jerry Reese kind of era prior to Dave Gettleman, who's now the general manager, they ignored the offensive line. In fact, you know, reports were that they felt, and Jerry Reese came out and said that, quote-unquote, Eli Manning's on the back nine of his career. They wanted Eli Manning out of here. In fact, if you recall, they benched him for Geno Smith one game. So now you've got an organization that, going into the season, committed to Eli Manning, not just for this year, but the game plan was for the next 3 years, including this year. And they thought that bringing in Nate Solder and improving this offensive line would do it, and it hasn't. And so I think they need to push the reset button, but everybody is blaming Eli Manning. You asked if they're going to start a grave for him. It's already begun, unfortunately.
Anita, we've been talking about this matchup all day long, and Eli Manning, I think, is the fourth most sacked quarterback in the league, and certainly offensive line issues. I mean, you spoke about the mobility, but certainly offensive line issues. How much of a fear is it tonight when you do have two guys in attack McKinley and, you know, in two good pass rushers that this team, and Vic Beasley and Tack McKinley, that this team has, that this is a game where Atlanta's pass rush can actually feast on that Giants offensive line tonight?
Yeah, I think it's going to be absolutely terrifying. In fact, it's been musical chairs this week as they get ready for the Atlanta Falcons. Greco, who was their center, has now moved to right guard. They are now going to start their third string center tonight. I'm worried about it. I think it's going to be a complete mess. On top of that, so now you've got Eli Manning, who's totally shell-shocked. He's back there. I highly doubt he's going to get any time. And you've got a disgruntled wide receiver in Odell Beckham Jr. And, you know, he's a guy, he wears his emotions on his sleeve, like it or not. I'm sure he's going to try to feed him the ball. On top of that, you have Saquon Barkley. I think it's going to be a matter of dink and dunk. And can the Atlanta Falcons linebacking core and safeties keep tackle well and keep everything short and shallow and not allow the Giants to move the chains on third down? I'm worried that this game is going to be a complete mess for the Giants tonight. I really am.
Anita Marks joining us here as we get to know our enemy. She's on the Wait4It.com hotline from ESPN New York 98.7.
Aren't you feeling sad for your enemy right now? Aren't you feeling sorry for your enemy right about now?
Have you seen the Falcons' defense play? That's what makes us sad.
Anita, we can't do that. We can't. Now, we love you, and we know you're a big Giants fan, so we're sort of empathizing with you, but we had Super Bowl aspirations that were legitimate. And it wasn't just us in Atlanta. All kinds of national pundits were picking the Falcons to be in the Super Bowl because we had a rock star roster. And then, of course, the damn injury bug took its toll. But Anita, in terms of Odell Beckham, I don't like the guy. I like him as a player. I don't like who the dude is. I just think he's in his own way. He's in his team's own way. Where are you at with Odell Beckham Jr.?
Yeah, how much time do we have? I've been covering this guy
several
since
minutes,
Giants,
Anita.
I've been covering him since the Giants drafted him. There's so many reasons why we are at the stage that we're at with Odell Beckham Jr. First and foremost is, you know, I think the organization is to blame here. You know, Odell came in, and the way they treated him was that he did nothing wrong. Even when he was doing things wrong, he was treated as if he was doing nothing wrong, and he was coddled. And so Odell doesn't know anything other than that here in New York. So, you know, on top of his stardom, that catch, which I call the claw, took him from 0 to 100 miles an hour in regard to stardom. And next thing you know, he's having dinner with LeBron James and David Beckham. And I think, you know, I think things moved really fast for him. And I think that there's a lot that he's been dealing with. I think we're dealing with some arrogance here and not a lot of humility. And he goes on public, on national television with Josina Anderson and Lil Wayne and calls out his quarterback and calls out his new head coach and calls out his teammates. And there's no repercussion for that, at least in my opinion, not enough. And so this is a situation where, you know, I really do believe that the Giants are to blame here. And I don't think there's any turning back. I think the organization needs to move on from Odell. I think Odell needs a new team, new leadership, a new head coach, new ownership to try to wrangle him in, because I don't see the Giants doing it anytime soon.
Anita, Olivier Vernon comes back last week, certainly one of the key members of this Giants defense, and of course lining up against this high-powered Falcons offense. But how healthy is he for this game, and how much of a difference can he make tonight for their defense?
Yeah, I think he's the elixir when it comes to this defense. He's hands down the best defensive player on the team. He's their best pass rusher. As you know, they moved to a 3-4 defense this season with a new defensive coordinator, and it begins and ends with him. And so, you know, he had a high ankle sprain, which some people feel is a lot worse than a broken ankle with a number of athletes. And it's taken him a while to get back onto the football field. They held him out until they took on the Philadelphia Eagles, because at that point in time, because all the games that they were losing, they felt like, well, the only way that we can at least try to make it into the postseason is by beating our own NFC opponents. And I think you saw this defense play a lot better once Olivier Vernon was back in action. So I just, again, you know, he is the straw that stirs the drink with this defense, but I still don't think that this defense is good enough to compete and contend with the offensive firepower that we're seeing with Matty Ice and this Atlanta Falcons offense. I mean, they're putting up so many points, and Matt Ryan is playing unbelievable football, and I own Ridley in probably 10 of my 12 fantasy leagues, so I'm going to be rooting for him to score a touchdown tonight. And I mean, it's just, I think this game is going to come down to keeping up with the Joneses. And I just don't feel that the Giants have the offensive firepower or the unity right now to keep up with the amount of points that Atlanta is going to put up against this Giants defense, with or without Olivier Vernon.
Wow, I feel small and tiny here in Atlanta. I'm in 7 NFL fantasy leagues, and Anita, everybody down here thinks I'm nuts. You're in 12?
Yeah, but okay, so here we go. When did you start playing fantasy football?
1989.
Oh, okay. All right, 1988. So, okay. So, I mean, I've been in, like, remember,
I knew you were my girl. I knew it.
remember the show Best Damn Sports Show Period?
Yes, love that show.
It was on. So I'm one of my leagues is the inaugural league for that show. I'm in leagues.
Wow.
I'm in leagues. Michael Fabiano used to work for CBSSportsLine.com, and him and I used to host fantasy football shows down in Miami in like 1992. and I've been in leagues with Fabiano for, so they're just, yes, they're 12. It's a lot. I have no social life when it comes to football season, but these are leagues I've been in for years, and I can't leave them. You just can't leave them when you've been a part of a group.
I can't either. Anita, I say yes to every invitation, man. And here's the thing. I need a lot of Ingram tonight, but I also need a Falcons victory. So, Anita, we can't thank you enough.
Thanks,
I really
Anita.
Appreciate it. Enjoy the ball game tonight, and we'll talk to you soon.
You got it, guys. Thank you.
Anita Marks and her 12 NFL fantasy football teams live from New York.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.